This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 154 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, July 11th, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, and I'm joined this week by my lovely co-host, Sarah Gooding, out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. How are you doing this week, Sarah?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic, considering where I live, the big sports news of today. But this is a WordPress show, so I'm not going to dwell on that. But can't seem to get away from it. Everyone's talking about it. So sort of hard to, and for those who don't know, whole LeBron James thing, in case you follow sports. But anyways, we've got some big news to talk about in terms of WordPress land, and that is the first beta for WordPress 4.0 has been released and is now ready for testing. You wrote about this just the other day, and now the official release, 4.0, is scheduled for release in August, but beta 1 is available, and some of the new features in the new version includes you can now preview O-embeds, so links to like YouTube videos or any O-embed supported services in WordPress. You can actually preview them in the visual editor. Previously, you would just see the URL. Now you actually get to see the content as you would on the front end of the site if you publish a post. So that is really cool. Just another reason to use the visual editor nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty neat, looks like one of your favorite features is the media library grid view.
Yeah, that definitely is the most exciting feature for me. I love it so much.
Now, I usually, my primary way I access the media library is actually within the post when I click add media. And I got to tell you, I rarely ever actually visit the media library. Do you visit it often?
Yeah, I think more often when I'm testing plugins and themes, I'll go check out what's in the library and what do I have to use for testing a theme. But I don't know. I just love the way it looks. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I definitely like the grid view versus the list view, especially when you it's mostly just images, so they all, it just looks nice. You mm-hmm. know, with the images and everything at the same size. So that's really neat. And, you know, in 3.8 and 3.9, there was work done to improve the theme experience, the discovery and installation process, and a lot of people were impressed with the way that looks. Well, 4.0 has a is the first iteration of the plugin install and search experience. So now when you visit the plugin install page from the back end of WordPress and you click on, let's say, popular, you'll now see plugins in a card view, which is pretty neat. It's a lot better than the standard list view. You get to see information in a much more structured way. I think you also get to see a little bit more information about the plugins, actually, with the cards. So that's pretty neat. And then if you click on the install button, you'll see a the plugin header, and there's also a tab where you can read reviews now from that little modal that pops up. And overall, it's just the first iteration. There are things to improve, but definitely a big step up from what we have with WordPress 3.9 in terms of discovering and installing plugins.
I love it. It really lets you look at plugins in a better way. So if you're choosing between four or five that do the same thing, you can see reviews right there and everything. It is awesome.
And you covered this earlier this week, but for those who install a brand new version of WordPress, they now have the ability to actually select a language.
Yeah, that, I think that's big news. I mean, it's, I think it'll impact a lot of people who maybe previously were turned off by having to install it in English. So I think that's going to be make a big impact on the world.
So one more step added to the famous 5-minute install process, but when you apparently when you install it in a different language, you then are able to see I think it tailors the experience to where you see plugins and themes that have also been translated in that language as well. So it's a, I think it's a whole seamless experience around just that language,
mm-hmm.
which is very impressive.
Yeah.
Instead of having to actually manually search for that yourself. And then one other feature, another visual editor improvement, Currently in 3.9, the visual editor where you write the content for a post has its own little sidebar and has a little bottom right-hand corner is a little handle. You put your mouse down there, and you can actually expand and shrink the content window. Well, that functionality has been removed, and instead, the content window expands as you add more content to it, and the toolbar, when you scroll down, sticks to the top of that content area. So this is a huge, for me, it's a huge change for those who write in WordPress, every day. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big change. I'd like it, but it's going to take a while for me to get used to not having that scroll bar in the content window, because I noticed today when I was testing and playing around with the feature, I was scrolling up and down, up and down. I'm like, no, I have to, just get used to it. But I can see that as being one of the features that people are going to have to get used to it, and I think once they do, they'll like it. But until then, they're mm-hmm. going to be complaining that, hey, where's my handle? I can't, I want that control back. But
it's just way better, though, so I don't know. It's just I don't think it'll take very long to get used to at all.
It's just one of those things where, like in 3.9, when the addition to, instead of the paste from Word button in a TinyMCE, the button was removed, and now you can just paste the content in there, and it happens automatically. This is the same thing. The content window will get bigger as you add more content to it, so there's no need to have that handle to drag up and down and make it bigger or smaller.
Mm-hmm. I think the less you have to think about those things in general, the better WordPress is.
Oh, are you on the philosophy of decisions over options? Sounds like it.
I guess. I just think the less that you have to think about your whole editing experience and just write, the better, the better your writing quality is probably going to be.
Right. Overall, the more WordPress just gets out of your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From what it is you're trying to accomplish. Just a couple other things, improvements to keyboard and cursor interactions with TinyMCE views. Widgets in the customizer are now loaded in a separate panel. So this is neat because in the customizer, which we'll talk a lot about here in a little bit, especially with our guest Matt Weave from Automatic, the customizer in 4.0, when you in 3.9, live widget previews were added to the customizer. Well, in 4.0, instead of taking up, let's say, two sidebars when you're in the customizer mode, there's a panel that you could switch between that uses the same real estate as the customizer. So you stay within that one narrow column, and you're not shrinking the actual space to be able to see what it is you're changing. So this whole idea of panels in the customizer, I think, is big and is going to be utilized by a lot of different themes.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of different putting options and customization features in there. Now that we won't have everything just in one panel, you could now organize things a little bit better with these panels.
Yeah, it's like a chest of drawers now.
So there's also been improvements to formatting functions. So that's just a scratching the surface of some of the improvements in WordPress 4.0. The beta has been released, so the easiest way to get a hold of the beta is actually from WordPress.org or from the WordPress beta tester plugin. Set it to Bleeding Edge Nightlies, and you can get a hold of the beta versions of WordPress and test away. And if you think you've come across the bug, please publish it in the alpha beta forums on the WordPress.org support forums. And the community will help you out after reporting the bug. Let's see. So WordPress.tv has been in existence for a few years now, and apparently the other day you've reported that the first German language video was added to the service, and it was by Konstantin Oberland when he discussed underscores and his presentation from WordCamp Hamburg. And so what did you discover? Is this really the first German video on WordPress.tv?
Well, it seemed like it because there was only one under that tag there, but some commenters said that there used to be other videos there, and I think they're just constantly curating them. I think they delete some that are less relevant and then, put in new ones, but I would have thought there'd be more German videos on there by now, but it seems like this is the first one. I think they're adding more, but it's kind of hard to discover on WordPress.tv videos by language, because there's no real easy way to search. Like, you can use the search bar, but it doesn't turn up all the videos from one language. So I think it would be cool if they added something to make it easy to find videos in your own language.
Yeah, you had to actually do some sleuthing, you know, like Dick Tracy. You said that you found 61 videos in Japanese, 56 in French, 38 in Spanish, 8 in Russian, 2 in Norwegian, and now 1 in German. And that was just based on hunting them down via the URLs, because it wasn't easy to find. You know, you can't narrow your search results based on language.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's even possible. I guess it would be if you just add a tag, because the videos are tagged, I believe.
Yeah, they already are. So if there was just like a nice interface for looking at, maybe a map or something like that, you click on it and then, or maybe not a map, because languages span more countries. So.
Well, the easiest way would just be to add a tag for whatever language that video is in. So German, Japanese, and then you mm-hmm. could just hit that tag and then you see all related videos with that language. Via the tag. I mean,
You can do that if you know what the tag is already.
Okay. But the discovery process itself is what you mm-hmm. mean. There's no easy way to just discover videos in those languages.
Yeah.
So, anybody listening who works for WordPress.tv, here's a suggestion for you. an enhancement. But I don't know really any language other than English. But as, you know, as we've seen, the internationalization, the global aspect of WordPress itself, it would be neat to see just the influx of WordPress videos. I mean, as we see WordPress improve different ways of, you know, other people in different languages using the software, it'd be nice to see that also on WordPress.tv and just mm-hmm. be able to access all those different languages, those cultural videos on WordPress.tv. Be nice. So let's see, there's a feature plugin, a brand new one, that's in the works, and it's going to work on improving the image editing experience. So give us a lowdown on what you know about this plugin.
Well, a group of contributors at WordCamp Seattle got together, and they were just discussing, you know, their ideas for improving the editing experience, because right now the tools there are pretty basic, and they let you do a few things like rotate and crop, but it's kind of confusing. So there's a group of contributors who are working together to try to make it more intuitive, and they're just in the planning stages right now, but they're opening it up to anyone who wants to contribute. People who have different skills can get involved doing interviews or, you know, coding it up, eventually testing and that kind of thing. So it's pretty exciting. I think this feature definitely needs a little bit of love, and I'm excited to see where they take it.
And I like how in your post, Siobhan McEwen was quoted as saying, WordPress is not an image editing platform, but since the tools are there, why can't we, let's just improve them, pretty mm-hmm. much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I agree with that, but, you know, to be honest, I take care of the image editing myself through a separate software program, mm-hmm. and that way I don't have to mess with it when I upload it to WordPress. It saves me a few steps in the content creation process.
Right.
Image editing features are probably, they are the 20 or 30% of WordPress I don't use. So,
well, I also do the same because I'm normally working from a laptop or desktop. But for people who are on mobile, a lot of times, you know, if you're on your tablet, you don't have as good of image editing tools to use outside of WordPress. So it's really, it's important to be able to have the basic tools in there working in an intuitive way so that you can do everything you need to do to blog and have, you know, post your featured image and resize things to be the size that you need them. So I think it's an important feature for them to be working on.
What do you think by this comment by Joe on the article? He says, if WordPress could eliminate the need to use a separate image editor for very basic editing such as annotating, resizing, cropping images, then they would be removing one less thing new users would have to learn, i.e. a separate image editing app to start publishing online. You know, that's great, but I fear going down that road because then, the code editors are there in WordPress. Why don't we have, you know, revisions and, you know, throwing them into full development suites, you know, since they're there, let's just improve those, and that way you could do everything within WordPress with code via using a separate program. See, there's a line that has to be drawn there.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But I do like the fact, you know, if they're there, why not just improve them as they are now? But let's not throw Photoshop into WordPress.
Right. I don't think anyone's...
No. Yeah, and no one's advocating yet. That would be kind of crazy. So I'm all on board with that. I mean, if they're there and they can be improved upon, why not?
Yeah.
And let's see. Last but not least, I want to say congratulations to WP Beginner, a great WordPress resource site by Syed Balki, who turned 5 recently. And they're celebrating with a huge giveaway. And they're also partnering up with the Pencils... I believe it's the Pencils of Promise organization. And last year, for WP Beginner's birthday, they also had a giveaway and was able to raise $25,000, and they actually built a school in Guatemala, which is really cool. This year, he's upping the ante by wanting to build 2 schools. So he's hoping to raise $50,000. And as of this recording, right now, they're about $4,000 shy of the goal with a few more days left of the campaign with 91 donations. So I don't want to jinx it or anything, but I think they're well on their way to accomplishing the goal. And I think it's really cool to see members of the WordPress community sort of give back in this way. And actually, a number of the donations to this campaign are from established WordPress companies. So it's just really cool to see the success that these companies have and sort of I guess the word is
philanthropy?
Yeah, you know, that. You know, it's nice to see them turning around using some of their success to help other charities and organizations like this. I mean, for example, Matt Mulloway, when he turned 30, actually did a campaign for Charity Water where he wanted everybody to donate at least, you know, $3, $30, whatever. And he was very successful in getting people to donate. So overall, a great campaign, a great purpose. I wish Syed the best of luck and congratulations to WP Beginner. And it looks like they'll be around for another year. Just a great WordPress resource, especially for beginners.
Yeah, it's awesome that they've been around for so long. You know, it's quite an achievement to keep putting content out there for such a long time.
And, you know, and I think Syed Balki reads my mind because every time I put in a question in a Google, usually that's the post title on a post on WP Beginner. So I don't know what the connection is there, but
maybe they use an SEO plugin.
Yeah, Jeff Brain. But that's not good for SEO, let me tell you. All right, so that just about rounds out this week's edition of the news. Let's bring on our guest here. His name is Matt Weeb, and he works for Automattic. So we have an Automattic employee on the show today. For WordPress.com, he's a design engineer and has years of experience working with the WordPress customizer, the topic of discussion today. Matt, thank you very much for being on the show.
For sure. Happy to be here.
And so just to sort of lay this out here, where do we begin? Let's see, in 3.9 we have something called the theme customizer. But there's a number of changes that are taking place, especially with WordPress 4.0, where they're moving from theme customizer to just customizer, because what you're going to be able to do with it is going to expand outside of just customizing themes. So that's interesting. But you wrote this post called Evolving the Customizer, and it raises some concerns about the customizer as it stands, its architecture, some of the drawbacks of using it, and you also added some suggestions on improvements. So I figured, why not have you come on, explain your side of the story,
sure,
and let's talk about a little bit more in depth on how you view the customizer and maybe ways to improve it. So let's start off with mobile. Tell us what it's like to use the customizer on mobile, or is that not even possible?
I mean, sort of semi-theoretically, but not really. Like, it just wasn't built with mobile in mind. You can use it sort of okay on a tablet. Not everything works perfectly there, but pretty good. It's okay experience there. But like on a small screen on a phone, it's basically don't bother.
And I think it has more to do with just the fact that the phone screen, like the iPhone screen, has limited real estate as it is, and the customizer takes up, you know, a good chunk of real estate, especially on smaller screen devices. So I think that's probably one of the problems there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so that's something that could theoretically be addressed with kind of a redesign of it. And I think that could be done. Probably, you would just have to attack the problem very differently than the way the UI of the customizer currently is.
So why, can you explain to us why you think it should be done? For tiny screens like this, I can see using the customizer on a tablet, but I did try to use it on my phone the other day, and it was terrible. But then again, I thought, you know, why should I expect to be able to customize my website on my tiny phone?
Right.
What do you think the philosophy is behind that?
So basically, all of the trends in terms of devices people use to access the web, things are trending very, very heavily to a lot of use on phones, a lot of use, and this is the especially important one, a lot of use exclusively from phones. People who do not own a laptop or a tablet, their smartphone is literally the only way they access the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a trend, particularly globally, that is just enormous. So if we're not really getting into this like kind of mobile first mindset with everything that we build, you're basically just excluding what is going to become the majority of the people who use the web, if it's not already. Like it certainly may be, depending on how you want to slice and dice it. So of course, for us, because the tool that is the customizer is obviously designed for desktop, that's where you want to use it. You don't want to use it where it doesn't work. So right away, we kind of exclude ourselves from a whole lot of users by doing that.
Right.
And particularly, not just the users of today, but the users of tomorrow, and increasingly more of them tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I also want to mention, it's good to mention this now, and keep this in the frame of this entire discussion. There is, you know, Matt Weeb, he works on the customizer primarily for WordPress.com, which has much of the same code base as the open source WordPress project, and there's also that version of the customizer. Yeah. So in this entire post, were you basically talking about just a WordPress customizer in general, or the WordPress.com specific customizer?
Right. So I mean, on WordPress.com, we're using the core customizer. Over the 2 years that the customizer has existed, we have certainly taken some liberties. And I mean, what you see on WordPress.com presently is kind of a reskin of it. And what you see there is also something along the idea of panels that are going into the customizer in WordPress 4.0. It's still the same customizer at heart, but we've certainly made some modifications for our own usage. And that's ultimately kind of at the heart of a lot of this. Like, our use case and users for WordPress.com don't completely overlap and isn't completely the same set of users and set of considerations for those users as it is for WordPress.org. So certainly as I'm writing the post that I wrote, it was certainly from that perspective. We're just trying to make a great customizing experience for our .com users, and in some ways we've kind of feel like we've come to the end of what we can do with the core customizer for the user experience we really want for our users.
And I think that's a very interesting dynamic in and of itself, because WordPress.com seems to, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but wants to stay as close to the code base that's going on the .org side of things instead of going into two separate forks.
Absolutely.
And it seems to be the customizer, as you mentioned, just seems to be one of those spots where you've sort of hit the end, hit the end of what's possible with the current iteration of it, Yep. And I think your post was just more just about a bunch of suggestions and roadblocks you've hit, mm-hmm. and maybe it's time to sort of refactor it, but for the WordPress.com side of things, not so much for .org because of the use cases are different.
Right. And I mean, we're exploring some other options right now for .com that wouldn't be the core customizer. I mean, one of the really tricky things that the core customizer has to accomplish is that it has to work with every theme. And that's really hard, and nothing but props to the team who made the customizer for actually making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a pretty great piece of work there. On .com, we have the advantage that all the themes that we offer our users are under our control. And so we can do some different things with that than you really wouldn't be able to do with the core customizer. So we're just exploring some of those right now, seeing if we can make a really great kind of mobile first experience for our users.
So can you elaborate on what you guys are experimenting with there?
It's too early, 'cause like really we are just experimenting. But you should probably. Hopefully some of this will come to light. And I've certainly been in conversation in all of this with some of the core team and some of the guys like Weston and Dominic and Nick, as they've been working on the customizer for 4.0. And I certainly hope that, if any of our experiments bear fruit, that, maybe they'll inspire some change in the core customizer down the road as well. Like you said earlier, Jeff, we always want to stay as in step with core as possible, for sure. But where we need to kind of take a bit of a different path for the sake of our users, we're absolutely going to do that.
So let's get geeky a little bit here, not too geeky, but a little bit, and let's talk about you outlined performance as one of the possible drawbacks of the customizer. So explain how the customizer currently works and why it could be a drain on performance.
Yeah, so in this, the performance is particularly just the speed to where you can start using the customizer, right? Like when you first load it up. So that for us is one of the primary kind of user experience problems, is that it's quite slow to load, we find. And there are certainly some things that we could probably do to address that in core, absolutely. And I hope that some of those happen. But the problem is, so imagine you're just looking at the front end of your site, right? If you click customize in the toolbar, my kind of pie in the sky idea for user experience was that you would just at that point kind of seamlessly go into kind of like a customize mode. Right, without having to do a full reload of going to wp-admin/customize.php, which then is essentially two page loads, right? Because you're loading the admin side of the page, and then you're loading a preview in the iframe as well. And so that's two page loads that have to happen before the customizer can even be used. And they kind of basically happen one after the other. They're not happening at the same time, just because of the way it works. And so on particularly, like we've heard some people on like Bluehost or GoDaddy or whatever taking up to 60 seconds for that load to happen.
Wow.
So it's, so people just think it's broken and they don't use it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there are some things that could be done in core, and I made some suggestions in my post. But at the same time, we're looking for more of a kind of like front-end bootstrapped application that's just going to live right there instead of redirecting to some separate URL. That's kind of one of the things we're exploring the idea of.
Yeah, I'm actually on my local install, and as you're explaining it, I actually clicked the Customize button in the toolbar, and I could see it. It loads up the page, and then it loads up the sidebar, and I think it would be pretty nifty if what you described there was actually how it worked, where I just click Customize, and seamlessly there, I'm right in the customized mode instead of seeing the page reload and things going crazy and the sidebar popping out. I would definitely be a fan of that user experience.
Yeah. So again, that's where, like, like architecturally, the customizer is a pretty great piece of software in a lot of ways. It's just that it reflects exactly what it is. Like, it solved a lot of hard technical problems, and then the user experience wasn't considered as strongly as some of the architecture. And that's fine. I mean, it's still a pretty early, like, it's still a pretty recent feature in WordPress core. And I think that there's a lot of potential for that stuff to evolve in the customizer, absolutely.
So we've got Weston in our chat room here, and he's referencing a ticket where core contributors recognize that performance needs to be improved, and people over on the .com side are working hard to make performance better for that huge group of users. So where do you guys converge on this? Where .org and .com are both saying, hey, this needs to be better. Mm-hmm. How do you guys work together to do that? And, where, at what point do you decide, why don't we pool, the talent from both areas here and find a solution for everybody? Because it is going to benefit everyone.
For sure. And that's certainly one of the reasons I wrote my post, was just to start that conversation. I mean, I really don't have an answer to that at this point. For us on .com, our users are primarily .com users, but of course we have a lot of, because we have the most users of WordPress, I mean, we certainly are still far, we're still incredibly interested in WordPress.org. It's incredibly important to us. Mm-hmm. Certainly my hope is that, we can continue to have a lot of collaboration here and to make the best WordPress for everyone who uses WordPress, be it .org or .com. But I'm not sure what the specifics of any of that are going to look like yet. But So it's an open question for sure.
So going back to the architecture issue that you brought up, we've mentioned here, it looks like more and more development in WordPress is centered around JavaScript.
Yep.
In fact, there's terms or statements being made that maybe in a few years, 90% of WordPress development will be JavaScript-based.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned here that the customizer is actually the first true JavaScript-driven feature in core.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Nason disagreed with me. He said distraction-free writing was, but...
Oh, okay, well...
I disagree, because I don't really consider that an app. I don't think it was that huge a feature. I know they worked really hard on it, and they really did nail the experience, but the customizer is a bit of a different beast in that regard. It was the first feature in WordPress core that doesn't work without JavaScript, right? It relies completely on JavaScript. If you don't have JavaScript enabled, it just won't work.
Yeah, and that's not an area WordPress is famously known. That's not a road WordPress typically travels down because of accessibility and all those other features.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was the first time that had happened in WordPress core, whereas... something like distraction-free writing, I mean, you could still edit your post just fine with JavaScript disabled, and you just wouldn't get distraction-free writing. So it's kind of progressive enhancement there. But yeah, the customizer doesn't work without JavaScript. And then in 3.5, the new media library, right, that came in doesn't work without JavaScript either.
So despite it all being JavaScript and it works and it's great, there's no fallback is what you're saying.
Yeah. There's no UI that exists without the JavaScript being enabled. And so I think that was a really important corner that was turned in core, and I'm all for it because I think it just creates a better user experience. I think that especially once the WP API drops into core in version 4.1, it's looking like that's going to happen. I mean, lots of people have talked about this, but eventually you're going to get to the point where WP Admin is entirely just like a single-page JavaScript app that just talks to the API.
Wow, that's That's so interesting you say that, because as I've listened to shows with, you know, involving Matt Mulloway and some of the pioneers of that are really taking WordPress to the edge, and they talk about the future of WordPress, I always thought, you know, here's an idea, and I don't know how likely it is, but what if WordPress, you know, is not all this code and everything it is now, but what if everything is just an API call away, and it's just one big set of API calls? You know, could WordPress end up being that way in the future?
Yeah, for sure. I think it could and should and will, all of those. And then, you know, WordPress admin is basically just like the reference application for interacting with your API. And, you know, the canonical one, but whatever. You know, this is just going to make, you know, cross-platform development so much more powerful for things like iOS or Android or some other mobile platform that doesn't even exist yet, right? I mean, iOS didn't come around until year, you know, 6 or 7 of WordPress's life, right? There's mm-hmm. no way we could have seen that coming, and how important iOS and Android are on the web now.
Yeah, and for all the work that's been put into the WordPress mobile apps and just WordPress for mobile in general, mm-hmm. even when Matt Mulloway is interviewed these days, he's still saying you're far behind and we should have got on top of things sooner for mobile.
So for sure.
Even all this work that's gone on within the past few years, he still feels like
totally.
You guys are behind.
Yep. And, I mean, we've really struggled to really form much of a developer community around those apps as well. I mean, basically, I don't want to, if things have changed, I don't want to disrespect any open source contributors that are out there for the iOS or Android apps, but I'm pretty sure that almost all of the contributions are being made by automaticians who are employed to do so.
So is that why the reader is in there? Because, you know, a lot of people who don't blog on .com don't need the reader or don't want it.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, don't you think there's kind of a conflict of interest there, like putting .com features into it? Or, I mean, is it just like we can because we're all automaticians contributing, no one else is on board here, so let's... I mean, what's the situation there?
Well, I mean, certainly for .com, the reader is part of our strategy. And, you know, from the beginning of both of the apps, you know, WordPress.com is featured front and center. And so, I mean, it's basically just stayed on that trajectory. You know, if we had really wanted to make the apps, I mean, again, I say this as someone who's completely not involved in the world of the apps,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm just as much of a bystander, even though I'm inside Automatic, as you guys are. You know, in a lot of ways, the fact that there's even .org support in the apps at all, right, is quite remarkable. Right?
Yeah, you got that right.
If you think about it, and the fact that we're like just, you know, everyone working on the apps is employed by Automatic. You know, there have been some contributions, but I think they've been pretty minimal from the outside community. So, so yeah, like I said, the fact that there's .org support at all is kind of remarkable. So
yeah,
it's
an interesting dynamic there. I mean,
for sure.
The open source project just doesn't have the resources or the people there to make their own app or whatever. Yep. And so, sure. I mean, it's cool that there is an app.
Yeah.
But there's kind of a tension there because
totally.
You know, the features are geared toward .com users. So it's an interesting setup.
Yeah. I mean, and they particularly are too, because just, like how, like think about like creating a new user account on the WordPress iOS app or Android app. Like you just couldn't do that with .org, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no service for it to connect to yet because you haven't installed it yet.
Right.
Kind of a chicken egg problem. So I mean, so in there, I mean, you know, the only way to have that kind of a sign up experience is with .com.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it is open source software. I mean, if someone wanted to fork it and make their own version, cut out all the .com stuff, you know, it's free.
Here. I'm championing that idea because every time someone else creates a really cool WordPress app, Automattic buys them up.
It's because we're so desperate for mobile developers. Seriously, if you're a mobile developer listening to this, like, just apply and you'll get hired if you're any good.
Like, I mean, even in recent interviews, Matt has said, you know, when it comes, he's on a major aggressive hiring spree, and he's trying to sort of change the way Automattic thinks to where he wants every employee in the company to think mobile first instead of anything else, mobile first strategy throughout the entire company. It's pretty incredible how things have changed and evolved, and now as a company, Automattic's trying to evolve with that change, that trend. But let's go back. One of the things you mentioned in your post is something called, you call it Uncanny Valley User Experience, where you know, you can enter the customizer through the WP admin or from the front end via the menu bar. Mm-hmm. And you says in both cases, the transition begs the question, am I still where I started? Is this my admin or my site? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we've seen in user testing that users are just a bit confused, right? Because the customizer, you know, it's in a WP admin URL, right? And, you know, the stuff in the sidebar there looks like WP admin, right? But then you have the front end preview in that iframe as well. So it's like, what am I doing here? Is this really happening? You know, is this actually my site or some? And so people are just, right? Like, are you an admin with a preview, or are you looking at your site with some controls where you can tweak how it looks? And so people just kind of get into this uncertainty over where they are because it's this hybrid of both of those experiences, but it doesn't really feel like it lives in either the admin or in the front end.
Mm-hmm.
And so people just get confused, and they're not really sure if the changes they're making are gonna stick or not. And part of that is just the transition that gets made because, you know, the controls don't just slide in. You get redirected to another page, to the customize.php page in the admin, and that transition, which again on slow hosts can take like up to a minute to load, and so they just kind of lose that sense of place, like where they are in their site.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would make sense. And again, your proposed solution to that would be is if we had a seamless transition where you click customize and boom, you see the tools and everything presented in front of you, so you know you're in the customize mode.
Right, yeah, and they just slide in, and so it preserves that sense of place where you already were, right? You were already looking at your site, and now you basically just went into an editing mode for your appearance. And then when you save, the tools just go away. And there's your site.
So I'm not sure if you've kept tabs on this, but they've been, for a few versions now, there's been a plugin feature as a plugin first called Front End Editor.
Yep.
Just sort of experimenting with creating a user interface and different ways of sort of editing content on the front end of WordPress.
Yep.
And the last time I checked, it was using sort of the admin bar approach.
Yep.
You could click on edit and you would be able to edit content, things of that nature.
Yep.
Do you see that as possibly a way to the UI elements of front-end editing maybe being merged with the customizer? Maybe a mesh between the two could be the good user experience possibly?
Yeah, quite possibly, for sure. 'Cause again, like, when, you know, the section where I talk about WP tunnel vision, right? We tend to think in a very WordPress-y way, WordPress developers. For us, the idea of, you know, the customizer and front-end editing for content, those are two very separate things, right? And you know, they have very separate implementations. But, you know, for our users, they're not separate things. It's just I want to, you know, tap something or click on something on my site, and I want to change the words. I want to change how they look. You know, I want to basically treat this kind of like, I don't know, Microsoft Word or something, right? Like, I just want to click and have controls to change how things look and what they say, and I just want it right there.
Yeah, without waiting. And because of this, and if you switch themes, which could generate the refresh the page, we could end up, it looks like this would be a domino effect under the performance problem. But because of the performance problem, the architecture, as you say, would sort of make it impossible and encourage this tunnel vision.
Yeah. And I mean, again, I know there's things being experimented with. I think Weston is working on this stuff for post-editing from the customizer. I don't know if I think that's a great idea or not, but it's certainly pointed in that direction of, you know, just edit anything, right? And I think that's, you know, that's certainly one of the reasons why they've dropped the theme part from theme customizer in the name, just calling it the customizer. You know, because you customize the words too. Customize a lot of things.
So Nick Halsey, he's one of the members working on the Google Summer of Code projects related to the customizer improvements. And there's a, like we mentioned before, there's panels. There's now panels that are going to be part of the customizer. But in the post on the make.wordpress.org website, he also there's a little section here called Terminology Notes. And he says they explain we're shifting toward using customizer rather than theme customizer, as it isn't necessarily theme specific, although most of the uses of it currently are.
Right.
And he talks about customize is the action, customizer is the thing, and he talks about UI elements. And that, and at the end, this is what I find interesting. Customize could refer to anything. And he says that's the point. If it could be used to customize any part of a site, the customizer can be used for anything, and we like to encourage more experimentation with different uses of the customizer. And there's also been a couple changes to the architecture that sort of opens the door towards the customizer basically being able to customize, I don't know, anything. You know, there's experiments that are going to be taking place to customize this, customize that. I guess somebody would say customize all the things.
Yeah, but, for sure.
But there's a... I get scared with that. I mean, the one thing we sort of feared on the .org side of things when the theme customizer was developed was that, well, before that, you had all these theme options.
Yep.
Well, now some of the theme options could be removed or consolidated and be put into the theme customizer.
Yep.
And one of the fears was, well, okay, then they're going to start putting all these other things into the theme customizer, which, to a point, I haven't seen for myself yet. But now I can imagine in the future of WordPress that the customizer could be used to sort of replace, if not be the de facto standard way of changing all the different aspects and behaviors of the website instead of having to go through the WP admin to do all that stuff.
Right. And it's funny that you should mention that because initially when the customizer was conceived, that was basically exactly the idea. The idea for the customizer was to essentially be a preview pane on every single settings page in WordPress admin, in WP admin. So that was the original idea for the customizer. So I think you're seeing it just basically moving in that direction for sure. The only problem I see with that right now is that the UI is not set up to scale for that. In that way, that, you know, bringing in the panels in 4.0 is definitely helpful in that regard. But yeah, I think the UI is definitely going to, if that approach is taken, the UI is definitely going to need a lot of rethinking, because otherwise things are just going to get lost in there.
So the one
our users are going to get lost in there just because there's too much to wade through, right? I mean, it was fine. What you have in there is fine if you just have a few sections, but once they start adding up in sections and subsections, and now you got this navigational hierarchy and it's burdensome.
Panels upon panels.
Right. Yep.
It's like some of it comes down to like a philosophy, you know, in building your extensions, because my favorite themes and plugins are the ones that don't have any options. You just put them in there, and the design is made for you. You picked it because you like that design, not because you want 40 million options. So, I mean, I would love to see more people who are developing extensions choose to make it just very, very specific and not have any options at all, because that, to me, is a better experience for people who are using these things.
Well, and that's also one of the kind of philosophical differences between Customizer in the core and what we want to see for our users on .com. Mm-hmm. Is this, like, you know, kind of dump everything in the Customizer idea? And that's fine. I mean, if those settings do exist, changing them in the Customizer is, and being able to preview those changes before you save them, of course, that's better. But at the same time, for our users, we're looking more at a much more tailored, much more focused, just editing experience for, you know, you want your site to look the way you want it to look. And here's a few tools. We don't, you know, this is not the whole kitchen sink. This is a few things, you know. Tweak some colors, tweak some fonts, you know, try on some different theme designs, and then, you know, that's pretty much it. More focused, less bewildering, mm-hmm. kind of a thing.
I know Weston Reuter in the chat room, he says, WordPress 4.0 Beta 1 has contextual controls, too, in the customizer, which makes the controls only appear in the panel when it is relevant to the current URL being previewed, which helps it with clutter and helps it scale.
Yep, and that's great, for sure. Like I said, I mean, this is not like, you know, like there's I'm excited to see the stuff that's happening there. It's great. Yeah.
So one of my fears with the initial front end editor project was, there's for the longest time, you know, there's this line in the sand it's drawn between presentation and content.
Yep.
And with the front end editor, I was hoping that it would just focus on being able to edit content, because that's what I thought, you know, the front end editor would be for. I mean, that's the use case. Okay, I'm fine with that. And I was thinking that if somehow it enabled you to start editing other things from the front end, like colors, designs, things of that nature, now you've crossed the line with that feature. But if we had this customizer, and now you have ways to edit fonts, colors, things of that nature, you know, just from the customizer, and you can edit your post and the content. I wonder if having all that in one, you know, feature, the customizer, is a good idea, or, you know, how could we maintain that separation between presentation and content with the tools provided in WordPress?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not really sure. Particularly, I mean, I've been a bit lukewarm on the idea philosophically of front-end editing of content for exactly that reason. You know, I like the idea of editing it in a place where you don't see what it looks like, but, you know, that's a very philosophical preference. At the same time, you know, users want that. They just want it. And in a lot of ways, it's, by, of course, the obviously far superior user experience. And so I'm, you know, ask me on any given day, and I'll probably give you a different answer to what I think about that.
So the main gist I got out of your post was, when I first read it, was, oh, no, customizer, what are we doing here? Because I read your post, and then a few days later, we get this other post by Nick about all these improvements going into the customizer, and after reading your post, I'm thinking, okay, well, the architecture is it didn't seem, based on your post, that the longevity of the customizer was at a state where it would allow for all these things to happen, almost as if there's just too many roadblocks to really get the greatest experience possible. But thankfully, that's not the case. I think Weston Reuter and a couple of other people have agreed that it's not your post isn't the death of the customizer, but it was, in fact, it actually helped developers by outlining the different roadblocks that you see existing, and in fact, most of the there's a lot of tickets that have already been created and are being worked on to address almost every one of the issues you brought up in your post.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, I don't think all of those are going to be solved in a way that satisfies me for what we're trying to do for our users on WordPress.com. But but still, I mean, I'm really happy to see that it started some conversation and some motion. I mean, that's ultimately one of the goals I had here was, you know, I mean, there really hasn't been a lot of, you know, critique in public about the customizer, so I just wanted to open up some of that conversation, see where we could take that, and also as a gut check from the community against some of the things I had to say, you know, like, was I missing something? I've certainly been known to do that before. And, you know, I did put in there, it maybe was a little bit too much of an aside, but I mean, here's a little quote from my post. This is certainly a case where the optimal use case on WordPress.com, like new user sign up and having a pre-picked list of themes, may not line up with the best experience for core users. You know, and so that's very much the perspective I wrote my post in. I'm first and foremost considering .com users, but hoping that, you know, the improvements that we want to make for .com users will be available to all WordPress users.
All right. So, Sarah, when you wrote that post about the improvements and the customizer, what's the takeaway you got from Matt's post, and what's maybe the takeaway you get from the conversation today and after reading some of the improvements going into the customizer?
Well, when I first read Matt's post, I was surprised that there weren't very many comments on it. I mean, I think it's a really important discussion. And then when I wrote my post, I was hoping to draw attention, you know, to some of his points to see if maybe we could get some more discussion started there on it. And I was surprised by the sensitivity of the core devs because they work really hard. Like, you know, they volunteer their time to make it better, and they work really hard. And so sometimes I feel like there's a little bit of sensitivity towards any criticism at all about .org stuff. Yeah. And I just enjoy the discussion and the, you know, I wasn't looking to make it a controversy or to poo-poo the work that anybody's done, but just hoping to draw some more attention to how the customizer could be improved. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was grateful at the end there later on, we got, you know, some of the core people involved to talk about how they do see a road forward for the customizer. Yeah. They're talented folks. They'll make a road. You know, if it's not there, they'll find a way. But then, you know, on the other side here, there's .com that you are always shooting for a world-class experience for WordPress users there. And you're not going to settle for anything less.
Yeah, well, so, in some ways, too often we have settled for a lot less.
but you're hoping to, you know, to achieve that world-class experience, whatever it takes.
Yeah,
you
that's know? That's what we're aiming for sure.
Yeah. So on the .org side of things, you are limited to, you know, the amount of time that people have to spend on it on a volunteer basis, and you know, they want the same experience too. But you know, it just takes time. It's moving a very large ship that runs, you know, a big chunk of the internet. So it's an interesting dynamic there.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in a lot of ways, the customizer just sat in core unchanged for about, it came in 3.4, and widgets in the customizer in 3.9 was really the first thing of any significance that changed in the customizer. So that was five releases later. So just, you know, it just didn't get much attention for quite a while. It is getting more attention now, you know, with... you know, again, Weston's worked for 3.9. He's been continuing to work on 4.0. Nick's been working in the Summer of Code doing a lot of stuff, so that's great. And so a lot of this stuff can and will be addressed for sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited because based on the improvements and things I've read, the customizer, no longer called the theme customizer, but just the customizer, seems to, as long as the architectural improvements are made and iterations continue on the user experience, it seems like the sky is the limit in terms of what you can use this customizer for and what you can control and what you can edit. And it'll be interesting to see within the next, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, between the experiments and how things shake out, how the customizer is really, you know how close to the core it is to WordPress, its importance and what it enables people to do.
Yep. Yeah, I'm interested to see where it goes to.
All right, so in closing, is there anything in particular that you see going on with the customizer itself, probably on the .org side, that you're really happy with? Or, you know, what's the one thing that could make the biggest sort of improvements in terms of longevity of the customizer?
I think the single biggest thing, like I said, at the outset, is just re-architecting the user experience to be a mobile-first user experience.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the main thing that, and I think a lot of other stuff in terms of, like, you know, overload and too much stuff in there for users getting kind of lost, you know, a mobile-first design approach has a lot of, you know, good side effects of making you have to focus more on the user experience. Just there's less space for clutter. So I think going forward, that's kind of like the next major thing that's going to need to happen in the customizer for the next 5 years of the customizer.
And I'm personally interested to see how that works, because right now I can't picture a mobile version of the customizer. I don't know what that looks like, how it works.
Yep.
I just wonder how that's going to work on my iPhone, the customizer. I mean,
is it just a
big thing going to come out, or is it going to be... Wow, that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there.
Yep. So we're exploring some ideas in that area. We've certainly come across a lot of things that don't work. So we'll see if we can find something that does.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks a lot for joining us and sort of explaining more in more detail what your post means. Now I don't feel so bad. It's not the doom and gloom that I thought it was for the customizer, but it's also great to see that many of the things you brought up in terms of roadblocks, you know, there are tickets already created in the .org side of things, so improvements are already underway for most of the things you brought up. So in the end, everybody's winning here, and that can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
And let us know how people could follow you either on Twitter or maybe give us a shout-out to your URL. And please write about WordPress stuff more often.
It's funny how all us so many WordPress devs stop blogging at some point. Twitter, I'm Matt Weeb. And my kind of WordPress-related blog is wp.mattweeb with a .be URL hack there. So, yep.
Awesome. Matt, thanks again for being on the show. And keep up the great work at Automattic with WordPress.com and the associated services and projects there.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
Thanks, Matt.
For sure.
So what do you think about that, Sarah? I mean, at first I thought it was doom and gloom, but now... I think the sun's coming out, and the customizer is that big ray of sunshine, and I think everything will be okay.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. So it'll be fun to follow.
So, I mean, the customizer, wow, you know, because the possibilities seem endless. So I'm just really anxious to see the experiments of what people come up with, especially after these enhancements to it in WordPress 4.0. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's J-E-F-F-R-0. And you can follow Sarah on Twitter at...
Polyplumber, P-O-L-L-Y-P-L-U-M-M-E-R.
Fantastic. And I'm not sure who the guest is next week, but just stay tuned to wptavern.com to find out. And until then, everybody have a safe and enjoyable weekend.